Would you turn back to Ephesians chapter 5? Be ye therefore, and that means we're going to have to look at the previous verse to see why he says therefore, what's therefore, therefore. Be ye therefore followers. And the word is where we get the English word mime from. You know what a mime is? It's an imitator. Be ye therefore imitators of God as dear children. I hope that this message will be used by the Lord to create in us a thirst to be imitators of God. Now, if someone says to me, imitate God, my initial response is, yeah, right. How? He's God. But Paul does say to every believer, be ye therefore imitators of God. It's what dear children do. They imitate their heavenly father, like son. In order to imitate God, I first have to know Him and know what He's like. We can't even begin until we're there. To imitate God, I first have to know Him and know what He is like. You cannot know Him and not know what He's like. And you cannot truly know what He's like without truly knowing Him. And you cannot know Him and not imitate Him. This is what all of His dear children do. Some are more mature in grace than others and therefore better imitators. But all of His children imitate Him. And if I'm not imitating Him, I'm not one of His dear children. Now, what does it mean to imitate Him? Well, there's obviously some things we cannot imitate Him in because He's got attributes that are non-communicable. What do I mean by that? I sure can't imitate His sovereignty. He only is sovereign. He's the only sovereign. I cannot imitate Him in His omnipotence. He's all powerful. I'm weakness. I cannot imitate Him in His omniscience. He's all wise. I know for sure that's not me. I cannot imitate Him in His immutability. He doesn't change. I change constantly, up here, down there, somewhere in between. But we cannot imitate Him in that. We cannot imitate Him in His omnipresence. I can't be two places at once. He's everywhere at all times. You can't go anywhere where He's not. You see, He's got attributes that are absolutely impossible for us. I'm sure there's many other things I could name. I'm just trying to show you. There's some ways in which we cannot possibly imitate Him. Only He is so many things. That being said, we can imitate. He says, be ye, therefore, imitators, minds of God. Now notice the word therefore. He's building this statement on what he had previously said. He said in verse 32, be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted, compassionate, sympathetic, empathetic, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now in the context, remember this chapter vision is man-made, and this is not a very good chapter division because it shouldn't have been there, but it is. But in the context, he's talking about forgiving. Forgive one another as God for Christ's sake forgave you. And then he says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us. Now here's three things that every believer can imitate their Heavenly Father in. He forgives, he loves, and he gives. Now you imitate your Heavenly Father. He forgives. He forgives for Christ's sake. And you think about the way he forgives. And any sin that someone has committed against you, your sin against God is much greater. You believe that? It's so. You forgive one another as God for Christ's sake forgave you. He didn't have to find any other reason. He did it for Christ's sake. God is love. I love the scripture, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves sinners. And his love is a love that gives. Christ gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now here, three ways that by grace, I can imitate God. I want to be a forgiving person. Quick to forgive. Quick to love. And quick to give. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now this is very important for us to understand this. You don't do something to become holy. The only way you can be holy is if you already are holy. You can't do something to become holy. Holy. You can't perform some kind of work that'll make you holy or holier. The only way you could be holy is if you are holy. And that's what happens in a new birth when God gives a new nature. He gives a holy nature. A nature that comes from Him. Partakers of the divine nature. Begotten of God. Begotten of the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit, and whatever comes from Him is holy. If He imparts life to you, it's a holy life, isn't it? It's the life of God in the soul. You can only be holy if you are holy. And every believer is holy. Now listen to me. This is important. I'm not going to be any holier in heaven than I am right now while I'm talking to you. You see, holier in the first place is not so. There's not degrees of holiness. You're either holy or you're not holy. Now, if you're holy, he says, be holy in all manner of conversation. Every believer has a holy nature given to them in the new birth. And that holy nature is to have effect on all manner of conversation. Every part of my life. As a spouse, as a parent, as a child, as an employer, as an employee. How I treat you, how I treat others. My public life, what others see, my private life, what nobody else sees. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Every believer possesses the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But remember this, it's a holy love.
The fruit of the Holy Spirit.
It's a holy peace. Oh, like nothing the world has. My peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. It's a holy joy. It's a holy long-suffering. It comes from being a child of God. It's a holy gentleness. It's a holy goodness. It's a holy faith. It's a holy meekness. We just read about it in Isaiah. It's a holy temperance. It's the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation. There's nothing that can be separated from that. I think of the Beatitudes. You want to talk about the imitation of God or the imitation of Christ? Who embodied the Beatitudes like the Lord Jesus Christ? Whoever was as poor as He was, He became poor that you through His poverty might be rich. Whoever mourned over sin like He did? You know, we mourn over sin when we're caught, when we're embarrassed. But He mourned before God when the sin became His sin. He said, I'll be sorry for my sins. There's no one who mourned over sin the way the Lord Jesus Christ did. And what about His meekness before His Father? What about the way He never questioned His Father? He said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I think of Him hungering and thirsting after righteousness. When He was hanging on Calvary's tree, He said, I thirst. And that's talking about much infinitely more than His physical thirst. Who is merciful as He is merciful? Who is pure in heart as He is? Who's a peacemaker like Him? He made peace for us, didn't He? Who was persecuted for righteousness' sake like He was? He embodies the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are what a believer is. Imitate Him. Oh, I want to be poor, don't you? I want to be meek before God. I want to mourn over sin. I want to hunger and thirst after His righteousness. I want to be merciful. I want to be pure in heart. I want to be a peacemaker. Imitate Him. Be followers, be ye imitators of God. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, sometimes that word perfect means mature, determining the context. But here it doesn't mean mature. Be perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, let's look at what he says that leads up to this statement. Verse 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you. I love the way the Lord says that. I think it's glorious the way He never said, thus saith the Lord. I, with absolute, utter authority, as God the Son, I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Our imitation of Him is seen in our attitude toward our enemies. Your enemy is the one who is hostile toward you, wishes you ill, treats you with disrespect and contempt. That's your enemy. And what does the Lord say to do to your enemies? Love your enemies. He does. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, He does. We love them when we wish the same thing for them that we wish for ourselves. Salvation. Mercy. Grace. The forgiveness of sins. The revelation of Christ. He says, bless them that curse you. That speak ill of you. That speak evil of you. Ask for God's blessing on them. This is likeness to your Father. This is the imitation of your Father. Do good to them that hate you. Do good to their bodies. Do good to their souls. Be kind and merciful toward them. And pray for them, which despitefully use you and persecute you. They insult you. They abuse you. They revile you. They lie against you. They persecute you. Pray for them. Pray for God's blessing. Pray for God's grace. Pray that the Lord would reveal Himself to them. Verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. You see, His children imitate Him. He's not saying that you will become a child of God by doing this, but this is what God's children do. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And He sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Yeah, don't miss that. You say, well, that's simple enough. I know it's simple enough, but it's profound. All the Lord's blessings that you have, that unbeliever has. Not salvation, but as far as He sends His rain on the evil and the good. That fellow that's growing that poppy seed thing to distribute heroin, God sends His rain on that. The guy that's growing crops to feed the poor, God sends His rain on that too. Look in verse 46. For if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Now listen to me. Me and you ought to be doing more than others. We're children of God. We're children of the highest. Well, I love my brethren. Big deal. Big deal. Publicans do the same. Evil men do the same. If you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Look in Luke chapter 6. Verse 36, here's another call to imitation of our Heavenly Father. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Look in verse 27. He's saying much the same things here, but it's good for us to look at this. But I say unto you which hear, you know, not everybody hears. Believers do. Believers do. They've been given hearing ears. They hear something that the rest of the world does not hear. It just goes over their head. He says, I say unto you which hear, oh, what a precious gift to be able to hear the gospel. I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Unto him that smite thee on the one cheek, retaliate. No, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, he doesn't have any right to do that. Forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, turn him not away. And as you would, verse 31, as you would that men should do unto you, do also to them likewise. Now this is also given in the Sermon on the Mount. It's what people call the Golden Rule. How do you want people to treat you? That's all I'm asking. How do you want people to treat you? Well, you want them to treat you with respect. You know, there's when someone treats you in a disrespectful manner, it gets to you, doesn't it? You want them to be non-judgmental of you, treat you graciously. You want the people to give you the benefit of the doubt and not hold your feet to the fire. You don't want people to do that with you. You don't want people to have a different standard for themselves and a higher standard for you. Well, a lot of folks do that. I know I've done it. I'm a lot easier on myself than I am other people. How do you want to be treated? Now, the Bible does not tell other people how to treat me. It tells me how to treat other people. Never forget that. That's what I'm saying. I'm looking at this passage of Scripture and thinking, so-and-so needs to hear that. You missed it. You missed it altogether. As you would, that, man, this is so beautiful, it's so glorious, it's so simple. As you would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them. Verse 32, for if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? I think that is the same word that's generally translated grace. If you love them which love you, what grace have you? For sinners love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? Where's the grace there? For sinners also do even the same. You know, somebody's nice to me, I'm going to be nice to them. I mean, that's just life. That's the way people are. I always like people to like me. I do. And if somebody doesn't like me, I don't like them. I like people to like me. You know, that's what... And he's saying, this is... What grace is there in this? And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive... What grace have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward should be great, and you should be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. That's our Heavenly Father. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. With the measuring basket you bring to mete out your blessings, it's going to be measured to you again. Now that's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be merciful. Look in Luke chapter 10. Verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, that's a wrong question. And I love the way the Lord comes to him where he's coming from. Okay, you want to know what you need to do to inherit eternal life? What's written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And I can just feel him feeling pretty proud about his answer. I gave the right answer. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. If you want to come in on that angle, okay, go for it. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself. Now there's where we get stuck. When we want to justify and vindicate ourselves, he didn't like the way the Lord answered this because he was willing to justify himself. And he said unto Jesus, and who's my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there come down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. He couldn't do anything for him. Didn't want to do anything for him. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, he came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. Now, this is a picture of Christ. Christ is the Good Samaritan, but we're called upon to be a Good Samaritan as well. So let's read this. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. I'm so thankful the Lord came to me where I was. Not where I should be, but where I was. That's the way he always... You don't need to reach a certain level and then he'll get to you. No, he comes where we are. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee." Which now of these three thinkest thou was a neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus, "Go and do thou likewise." Our Father is to be imitated in every attribute he can be imitated in. Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, patient, faithful. Now, I want to look at this in closing in another angle. And I hope that this has created in us a desire to imitate our Heavenly Father. But I want us to think about this. And I think this, in some ways, enters more into something that I can get hold of. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now who's the first one to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? God the Father. When He gave the elect to His Son to be their surety and to guarantee their salvation, He trusted Christ completely to save them. And He, everything He requires of the believer, He looks to His Son for. He's the one who first trusted Christ. How much of our salvation did the Father entrust to the Son? All of it. You imitating in that. You trust the Son the same way the Father trusted Him. You trust Him for everything. Everything God requires of you, you look to the Son for. Imitate your Father in that. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Imitate Him in that. Oh, aren't you well pleased to be saved by Christ? Aren't you well pleased with who He is and what He accomplished? You see, He's the Father's beloved Son, and you're pleased by that. Aren't you pleased that the Father is pleased with Him? The Father has determined that all the glory of salvation is going to His Son. You imitate Him in that. You look at all and understand and believe and rejoice in all the glory of salvation going to His Son. And listen, this is personal. I've said this several times in the last few weeks. I want it to be that way. Because if it's not all that way, that means something's required from me that I got to come up with. And that's a place I don't want to go there. I want Him to have all the glory in salvation. "It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell." Imitate Him in that. You be pleased that it's pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The Father loveth the Son. Imitate Him in that. Be pleased that the Father loves the Son. You love the Son. You can't love Him as much as you ought to. I realize that. Nobody in here thinks that their love is even worth mentioning. I love the way, when people describe people, well, they really love the Lord. That's probably not a good way to speak. I think it would be better to speak the Lord really loves them. That's how John described himself, that disciple that Jesus loved. But you imitate your Heavenly Father in love to Christ. The Father loves His Word. Imitate Him in that. You love His Word. Love His love for His Word, but you love His Word as well. The Father is completely satisfied with the work of His Son. I wish I could describe that as it ought to be, but the Father is so pleased with the work of Christ. Complete satisfaction. He doesn't want anything else. Imitate Him in that. Imitate Him in you being pleased with the satisfaction that Christ accomplished on Calvary's tree. You're not looking for anything else. You don't want to hear anything else. The Father knows Christ is all of salvation, doesn't He? You reckon the Father knows that? You imitate Him in that. You know that Christ is all in salvation. The Father delights in the presence of His Son, in communion with His Son, in beholding the glory and the excellency of His Son. Oh, He delights in His Son. I love to think of the communion between the Father and the Son, the joy. The Father loves the presence of His Son. You imitate Him in that. You love the presence of His Son. Be ye, therefore, imitators, followers of God, as dear children. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that we would be given grace to be imitators of Thyself. Lord, we desire to imitate our Heavenly Father. Lord, give us the grace to love our enemies. Pray for them which hate us and despitefully use us. And Lord, how we thank You that that's how You are. Bless this message for Your glory and our good. And as we face this coming week, we ask that You would open up doors for us to preach Your gospel to others according to Your will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and come, please.